I am beginning a new sermon series today called Heart to Heart Conversations, and we find several examples of these types of conversations in the Gospels, where people do come to Jesus seeking answers to some of their deepest questions about life and faith. And Jesus always responded with compassion and care. He engaged people, he challenged them, and he encouraged them. In today's scripture reading, this is from John, we hear the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus under the cover of darkness. This was a risky move for him because he was a Pharisee and he wasn't supposed to hang out with Jesus. But he had questions that he believed Jesus could answer. So let's listen now to our scripture passage. I invite you to open to the third chapter of John, and I'll read verses 1 through 17. It's a rather long passage, but it will help us get a sense for the full story of Nicodemus. Again, it's John chapter 3, and I'm reading verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the very presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of God for the people of God. March Madness is set to begin this week with conference tournaments, and I fully expect to see people sporting gear from their favorite school. I certainly will. Heck, I'm wearing my favorite North Carolina tie today, even though they lost last night, and I don't expect to get much sympathy from you folks. But I think most of us are happy to show the world who we support. One of my ministry colleagues shared a story with me about his son who graduated from Wake Forest. He told me that his son loved being a student there. He enjoyed the full college experience. He attended all the men's and women's basketball games. He was a huge fan, and he dressed the part. He wore some form of black and gold to every game. But underneath every Wake Forest sweatshirt and every Wake Forest jersey, he wore a UNC t-shirt. He had grown up as a Heels fan, and he still supported them, but he didn't feel like he could do that publicly as a student at Wake Forest. Have you ever been afraid to show your true loyalties? Maybe you wanted to go somewhere to hear a speaker or go listen to a band, but you were a little afraid of who might see you there. Maybe you wanted to go to a game and root for a team that wasn't one of our local favorites. You know, sometimes we keep our loyalties and our interests quiet. Sometimes we even keep our questions quiet. We see this with Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. He was part of the religious leadership in Jerusalem. He had power and authority as a teacher. And he shows up three different times in the Gospel of John, which goes along with the three different times Jesus visited Jerusalem. Now, the first time follows a story most of us associate with Holy Week. It's the time when Jesus upended the tables and cried out against the use of the temple as a marketplace. In John's gospel, this happened early in Jesus' ministry rather than later on in the days just before his arrest and crucifixion. And so we might think of this as the opening round in Jesus' conflict with the religious leaders who really thought Jesus was crazy and a bit heretical. It's not surprising then that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night as a religious leader. His colleagues would not have been happy that he was spending time with the person they thought was so radical. If they had known that he was going to see Jesus, they would have questioned his loyalties. They would have even attacked his reputation. And that's why Nicodemus was afraid to be seen with Jesus. He was afraid of what people would think of him. He was afraid of what people might do to him. So he went to Jesus by night, a time of literal darkness when he could move throughout the city without being seen. He wanted to protect his reputation. He wanted to protect his power and authority. And yet at the same time, he was curious about Jesus. And therefore, he decided to take a risk by visiting him. When he showed up that night, the very first thing he said to Jesus was, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Nicodemus, I think, was just trying to start up a friendship with Jesus, although it was a secretive one. But he put himself out there, and he tried to show Jesus that he's different from his colleagues. He recognized that Jesus is a godly teacher, and yet he didn't fully understand who Jesus is. So Jesus had a heart-to-heart conversation with him. He said, "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Some translations say from being born anew or being born again. Now, I bet Nicodemus chewed on that for a while. How can you be born from above? What does that mean? Well, Jesus was inviting Nicodemus to consider that to be born of God's, he could be born of God's Spirit just as he was born of his mother. Jesus wanted him to realize that God wants to bring new and abundant life to him and to every person. But Nicodemus had a difficult time grasping what Jesus was saying. So Jesus explained in verse 8 that the wind blows where it will, and you hear it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. This is how it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, in this explanation, Jesus was playing on the Greek word pneuma, which translates into English as both spirit and wind. And the point that Jesus is making is that God's Spirit is uncontrollable like the wind. It births new life where it wills. Jesus wanted Nicodemus to understand that being born from above is entirely of God's doing. It's not about knowledge or accomplishments. It's not about working harder or following the rules. It's not something you can control. And that's why Jesus said in verse 8, the wind blows where it chooses. You do not know where it comes from or where it goes. In other words, God's Spirit can't be managed or manipulated or controlled. That was a tough lesson for Nicodemus to learn because he had spent his life as a Pharisee thinking that the way to God was through the law, through following rules, which frankly gave him a sense of control. It is human nature to want to have some control over our lives. Nicodemus wanted that for himself, and he wanted to take the right steps that would lead him to a more fulfilling life. That's why he came to Jesus. He knew that Jesus was a godly teacher who had performed many signs and miracles, and he thought he could get some of that for himself. But Jesus is more than a teacher. He's more than a miracle worker. Now, this didn't bother Jesus, and I think he was a bit amused by all of Nicodemus's questions, and he responded in verse 10 by saying, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you, of all people, do not understand these things?" Jesus pointed out the irony that this well-educated Pharisee lacked understanding. Nicodemus had a lot of room to grow, and yet for that growth to happen, Jesus wanted him to let go of control and give himself over to the power of the Holy Spirit. He wanted him to be born from above. Now, I appreciate Nicodemus because he reminds us that even the best educated among us still have room to grow. His example encourages us to keep seeking Jesus, to keep learning more, to keep growing. So let's not fall into the trap of thinking that we will reach a point when we fully understand who God is and how God works. In all likelihood, we'll never grasp the fullness of God until we come face to face with the Lord, as the Apostle Paul once put it. And until that happens, Jesus wants us to grow, and he is here to help. The question for us is, are we willing to take the risk of growing closer to him? Are we willing to let go of control and give ourselves over to a power that wants to bring new life to us? Are we willing to learn something new, especially if it goes against something we hold dearly? Are we willing to live with an openness to the work of God's Spirit? We don't know where the Spirit comes from or where it's going. And just like the wind, it is free to blow where it chooses. But if we are serious about growing in our faith, then we are invited to submit ourselves to God. Now, this is about being vulnerable. And being vulnerable is risky because it requires us to listen to Jesus and then respond. Jesus may very well want to have a heart-to-heart conversation with us, but if we're not listening and if we're not responding, it doesn't make a bit of difference. It's kind of like a story I heard about two women who are alike in almost every way. One woman works as an office manager for a law practice. She has two teenagers. She goes to church and teaches a Sunday school class. But she's tired of life. She's tired of teaching. She's tired of her job. She just feels stuck and a bit lifeless. The other woman works as an office manager for a medical practice. She has two small children. She goes to church and she teaches Sunday school. And while she's busy, unlike the other woman, she's invigorated by life. She's learning new things. She enjoys her work. She loves being with the people around her. Now, how could these two women, whose circumstances are almost identical, have such a different experience with life? And I think it has to do with a willingness to live with an openness to God. I suspect that the second woman is listening to and responding to the Holy Spirit, and that helps her feel closer to God. Nicodemus took a risk by coming to Jesus with his questions, and he did so because he wanted to get closer to God. Though I'm not sure how well he was listening, he didn't seem to understand what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't able to recognize what Jesus was offering, and he really didn't understand who Jesus is. Now, after reading this passage from the third chapter of John, you may wonder if Nicodemus was ever able to see the truth about Jesus, the truth that he is the one who comes from God. Our scripture passage doesn't answer that question. In fact, Nicodemus simply disappeared from the story without ever professing his faith in Christ. But let's not write him off. Nicodemus shows up again in John chapter 7 during Jesus' second visit to Jerusalem. And this time around, Nicodemus seems to be a changed man. He came to Jesus' defense in the midst of an intense conflict with the religious leaders. And Nicodemus even encouraged his colleagues to give Jesus a full hearing. He then appeared a third time in John, in chapter 19, when he's seen helping Joseph of Arimathea by bringing spices for Jesus' burial. Based on these three actions, it seems that Nicodemus' understanding of Jesus had grown and his life had changed. And I think he came to believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. And he put that belief into action by standing up for Jesus and by helping with his burial. The heart-to-heart conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus was the on-ramp to a new and abundant life with the Holy Spirit. But Nicodemus took a risk to make that happen. It was a risk coming to Jesus. It was a risk having that heart-to-heart conversation. And that leaves me wondering, what risk would you take to know Jesus better? I encourage you to not be afraid to try something new or to make a change in your life. And you don't have to hide your questions or your doubts from Jesus, because he graciously welcomes us and loves us and wants to build a deeper friendship with us so that we all might have abundant life and grow in faith. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the gift of your Son and the new life you want to share with us. We're grateful that you're always working to help us grow closer to you. And so today we pray that we would be more open to the ways you want to work in us, and that we would not be afraid of taking a risk that might draw us closer to you. And we pray this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.